Okay. Working on this same kind of idea. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I still, every day, more about the radicals. More about the radicals, and more I always hear. I told you this. You just watch for it. I've already heard it since I've been up here telling you. They get talking about them crazies over there blowing themselves up, and they talk about these radicals, and then somebody is going to say, yeah, well, Christianity's got them too, and here we go. And again, they're talking about the fundamentalists. They're talking about the people that actually believe the Bible. When your views are outside what they call the mainstream, your views, your practices, your traditions are outside what is commonly accepted, you become the radical. Is that something you seek to do? I mean, you try to go outside the norms? All you have to do is stay where you're supposed to be. The society will just move away from you, which will leave you right out in the cold. Now, let me throw out the reason to you. Most people don't know this. They don't give it a thought, I guess. I have no idea. You see, man consists of body, soul, and spirit. Man is just not a physical body. We said this before. Your body is actually made of the things that are found in the ground. Elements that are in the earth is what a human body consists of. If you melt it down, that's all it is. Now, there is no way that what we see, what human beings are capable of in creativity, you know, in those areas of, let's say, our art or music or engineering, you know, making space shuttles, and cell phones, and I don't know. You can't even imagine that something that just came out of the ground, came together, could do that. You know, the Bible actually says man came out of the ground. The Bible says that God created the man out of the dust of the earth. And again, when you analyze what the human body is made out of, it is. The Bible's true. Well, how did all that come together so it could do all these wonderful things? Well, because man possessed a spirit. Actually, the Bible says the animal does too, but it's a different kind. It's life. And when a body dies, the Bible says spirit leaves it. For the animal, the spirit goes to the earth. To the man, the spirit goes back to God who made it. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks a little bit about that. There's a natural man and a spiritual man. He talks about there's all kinds of different bodies, whether celestial, you know, heavenly, you know, stars and planets and all that. There's different kinds of beasts, animals in the animal kingdom. And then when you get down to humans, and so it's written, verse 45 says, the first man, Adam, became a living being when God breathed in him after he made him out of the dirt. And the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now, that last Adam is speaking of Christ because he's the federal head of the human race. Adam, Jesus became, or Jesus is the second Adam from above. Now, however, it says the spiritual is not the first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man, he said, was of the earth, made of the dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as was the man of the dust, so also are those who are made of the dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we all have borne the image of the man of the dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Maybe there's a lot of people out there that don't realize they have a spirit. I'm not so sure that people believe in evolution think that they have a spirit. But most people, I think, actually do. They don't understand it, maybe. I guess they figure that's what they get to go to heaven in, is the spiritual thing, body, not the physical one. Now, the reason why I'm bringing that up, because with this whole idea of the shift that people make all the time, and that's what we're looking at in the scripture, they drift. Because whether they know it or not, there is a battle that rages within them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just back up a few chapters, the Apostle Paul is writing to Christian people that do understand that they have a spirit. And he says, we're speaking to you in words, verse 13, which man's wisdom, not the words in which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they, the things that be of God, must be spiritually discerned. Look, if they don't believe they have a spirit, they're not going to understand spiritual things anyway. You know, there's a lot of people that heard Jesus' teaching, and some people were scratching their head. Some people said, he is nuts, and why are you listening to him? And some people said, he opened the eyes of the blind. Could anyone do that? These that didn't like Jesus said, he has a demon. And they said, do you ever see the devil open the eyes of the blind? They were divided, it said. Some people knew, because it says, never a man spake like this man. They knew he was saying something. You see, human beings, whether they believe in God or not, are created. You know, they say there's no atheists in foxholes. There ain't no atheists in hell either. There'll come a day, the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Now, Paul said the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now we just read, well, first things first. First comes the natural man, then comes the spiritual man. You know, Paul says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, he said the law of God is actually spiritual. So those things that be from God are spiritual. But Paul said, but humans, speaking of himself before Christ, he says, was called carnal or fleshly or natural. Now my point is, and maybe we should just look at one more scripture, Galatians 5, and then we'll talk. In Galatians 5, Paul said there is actually a warring that takes place. In Galatians 5, he writes to the Christian people telling them, look, this I say, verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh or of the natural man. For the flesh, the natural man, lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You're going to find that there's a turmoil going inside of you. The natural man is going to resist spiritual things. The spiritual man is going to want to resist the natural things. And because we consist of a dual nature. But here's the deal. 1 Corinthians 15 says the natural comes first. Guess what? It's dominant then. It's dominant. In other words, you could, if you need another visual, think of it this way. Let's just use 90-10. 90% natural, you know, the mindset is set to the flesh when we first begin. It comes first. In fact, it actually gets worse. I mean, the Bible says babies are blameless. Children are blameless. There comes a time, Paul said he experienced it. It's called the death of Adam and Eve, when the separation occurs. The Bible says that occurs when the knowledge of good and evil comes into your understanding. It comes with maturity. Comes with maturity. So when that commandment then comes, Paul said, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. He realized he was a sinner. He's a transgressor. The knowledge of that, he said, killed me. Obviously, he didn't drop dead because he was writing. But it's the experience that humans go through. Once they go into that darkness, you can't fix yourself. That's when you're going to need a Savior. You're going to need God's help. You can't save yourself. And the darkness is great. And people's lives, they struggle so. And they are tormented at times. I mean, of course, it depends on whether you want to do right or not. There's a lot of people who don't really want to do wrong or be bad. But they find themselves in it. How'd I get here? How'd I get here? Romans 7 is such a classic, we won't read that. But Paul talks about that. Finding himself, who delights in the law of God, as he did. But yet he said, I find another law warring in my members. I'm doing the things I don't want to do. And failing to do what I know I ought to be doing. He struggled with that. He concluded that condition was just pure wretchedness. He didn't want to be like that at all. Most people that read that go, man, I've been there. I know what that's all about. But that eighth chapter, see, Romans 8 follows Romans 7. And that eighth chapter drives a point home that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but the Spirit. See, those people realize they do have a dual nature, and they understand that they have to go from the dominant darkness of the flesh, that let's just call it the 90%, and they have to flip that, where the dominant fleshly side of us is decreased as the spiritual side, the 10%, begins to grow and grow and grow. When a person is born again and they have the power of Christ in them, the hope of glory in their new birth, they're born again. So the spiritual side, which is far greater than the physical side of the human being, your body will last, the Bible says, 70 to 80 years, generally speaking. And if by reason of strength you get more than that, you're still going to die and you will fly away, the Bible says. 70 or 80 years is nothing to compare to eternity. Paul said the Spirit, the things, spiritual things, are eternal, forever. So, the Christian has to be instructed, because they're really trying to understand that. You know, this information is not anywhere else out there in the world. It's not in the Quran. It's not in Hindu, Shinto. It's certainly not in secular humanism. Nobody teaches this stuff. Generally, you know, I mean, speaking, it's science doesn't teach it. In fact, for the most part, science is opposed to the whole idea of intelligent design. An accountability to an unseen God who forgives sins and answers prayers. It's a joke. We read that. To the natural man, the spiritual things of God are foolishness to him. Foolishness. And that's our world. We get that. But throughout history and what's occurring right now today, is the constant shifting of societies and cultures moving. Great empires and kingdoms have arisen and have collapsed under their own weight of their sin as they turn. You know, many started out with a good idea, human rights and freedoms and legal protections for their people and quality of life and prosperity. Well, those are good things. But they never can maintain it. Why? Well, because ultimately, men are governed by men, governments. And really, you get down to the basic fundamentals that Jesus said, look, a corrupt tree can't bring forth good fruit. The Bible says that basically all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All people walk according to the flesh, their own desires. I'm right close to Ephesians, so I'll just turn to Ephesians chapter 2. When Paul says, you too, you once, well, you first, he said, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but he made you alive, verse 1 tells you that, Ephesians 2, 1. And in verse 2, in which you also walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature just naturally children of wrath, just like others. Well, you think people in government are like that? They're humans. You know what the Bible says? And boy, I got to be careful. I'm going to get going here somewhere. Not on my lesson here. You know, law is given not for a righteous man. Law is given for the lawless. That's in 1 Timothy 1:9. Know this, the law isn't made for a righteous person. For the lawless, the insubordinate, for the ungodly, for sinners, the unholy, for the profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and for any other things contrary to sound doctrine. Think about it. Every time something bad happens, what's the first thing somebody says? We got to have a law. We need another law. Yeah, let's just build another law. Then somebody says, well, hey, why don't we just use some of the laws that are already there in the first place? Well, that'd be novel. Lawless people don't obey laws. We get that? So eventually what you have to do is shoot them. Hey, I'm talking about the standard here. God has a solution for people like that. Take them out, he said, and kill them. As some Old Testament examples of that. Now look. See, that's what the whole world lies under the influence of the wicked one. There is a battle in this world. God says, I set before you good and evil, life and death. Now choose life that you may live. We already read the verses there in Galatians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul said, there is a conflict between the spiritual man and the natural man. It's a warring. Those are the things that will affect all humans for all time. The only solution to escape that is what Jesus said in being born again. Because when a person is born again, and they must be born again, he said, to enter the kingdom of heaven, is that that human being gets a chance to start all over again, this time with God's help. This time with God's help. In fact, because I'm right there, I'll read it to you. It's in 2 Timothy 1:7. God hasn't given us, talking to the Christian people, a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The problems we see in our world and why our world is always all over the place and going up and going down and going up and going down is because the people don't have a sound mind. They're constantly reacting to their urges, to their flesh. The scripture said there's a way that seems right to a man, but they end up with the ways of death. Look at every generation as they come up. They think they have a better idea, and where does that get them? Every generation's going through, it's constant, this cycle. The one thing that is supposed to be the constant that never changes is the people of God. Because they're operating at a higher level with tons more information about life, the purpose of life. Remember, I brought out, I said there was a guy I was watching, John Lennox, if you ever get a chance to see the debates he has with Dawkins. What's that Dawkins' first name? What's that guy's name? the atheist. It's not Charles Darwin, it's Dawkins. It'll come to me. He's from England too. Richard Dawkins, yeah. He hates the idea of God. So Lennox was debating him, and Lennox is a mathematics professor from Oxford University, but he gave a defense for why he was a Christian. He says, one religion, the only belief system that tells people, gives people the understanding and the knowledge of who they are and why they're here and that their lives have meaning and purpose, all the things that people, that question is asked all over the world. And I know that from personal experience, because I've been in enough foreign countries and sit in everything from hotels to houses to huts, grass huts, and know that ultimately those are the things that are on people's minds. They really are. People really want to know that there's a meaning for their life, a purpose, and that they have value and significance. They do. God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but power, love, and a sound mind. God opens our eyes. God gives us a bigger picture. And so the people of God on this earth are supposed to be the most steady people that you'll ever meet, the best. And because they didn't do that all by themselves, they didn't come to that all by themselves. Because when you got, you know what the Bible says, it repeats it a couple of times and you'll get the point. When there was no king in Israel, it says everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Look, if you do not have a sovereign king in your life, guess what? You will default. The only place you can default is to your own ideas, your own personal philosophy. Where else are you going to go? Everybody justifies themselves to a point. You do what's right in your own eyes, why not? What else are you going to do? And you find somebody that seems to have their act together, you might ask them about what they're up to, or maybe something that they, a book they read or some person, whatever, you might follow them for a while. People will do that sometimes. They'll follow someone else. But you know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15? If the blind lead the blind, guess what? They both fall in the ditch. Does that make sense or what? So wonder if you see somebody you think out there has kind of got their act together, somebody you admire. You know, that's part of the thing with, in our culture today, with especially famous people or sports figures, you know, that people, young people many times idolize. You ever hear any of them people when they stick a microphone in their face? You know, maybe they can catch a football or something, or maybe they can do who knows what, sing or dance or do something else. But the minute they get a microphone, they're like, what are they talking about? They're idiots, most of them. They have no idea what they're doing out there. Man, they cannot manage their own lives at all, and yet people want to idolize and follow people like that. Well, look. You follow them, that you're going to get what they got. The blind lead the blind, both fall in the ditch. The standard of the Word of God has always been stable for all who have ever followed it. The Bible is the most amazing book, as you know, in the whole world. There's none like it. It starts out by giving us, in a Genesis account, the creation of the world. I guess that's pretty good. You know, Islam doesn't. The Quran does not do that. The Bible does that. Takes you all the way back to in the beginning. Isn't that a nice place to start? In the beginning. It's like God didn't want you to miss a thing. And He demonstrates through the entire, what we would call the Bible, containing both Old and New Testament, the complete roadmap of why. Why He did it, why He created it, and our involvement in that creation, and gives us insight, information into the angelic realm, the realm that existed, always existed, long before the earth existed, angels. There is no book like this book. And so what we've been talking about as we consider what's happening in our culture right now, like a rocket sled on rails, the United States of America is going through tremendous cultural upheaval, and it hasn't been for the good. It's not for the good. And only by the grace of God, and I don't know how long that can last, but if any of those radical crazies that are blowing themselves up, if they could get their hands on a nuke and get it into this country, they would detonate it. We're not talking about a few guys over there with their AK-47s or blowing themselves up in a market and killing 50, 60, 70 people and, oh, well, that's not our problem, it's over there kind of thing. This country's already been attacked. And if they could have had nukes instead of just stealing our airplanes, would have done it. It's a different ideology. You got to remember, some people, you know, during the Cold War, and some of you younger people don't know what that is, back in the day when the United States of America and the Soviet Union were pointing all these nukes at each other, you know what kept everybody safe? The doctrine of mutual destruction. That if they pulled that trigger and we pulled our trigger, mutual destruction. So nobody wanted to pull no triggers. Because guess what? Even though they were communists, they wanted to live. And so do we. So as long as they were all pointing at each other, the only thing that kept us safe was the idea of mutual destruction. Some people have said that concerning the fanatical Islamists over there. You know, well, if they shoot their missile at us, we got a whole lot more than them. That does not dissuade them. They think that's going to bring their prophet back, or the 12th imam. They want that to happen. They're excited about the idea of that happening. So they don't have this fear of mutual destruction. They're like, bring it on. They want that to happen. So if they get their nuke, then there could be a whole lot of dead people. We're in scary times, not only from outside, external, but even within. People are giving up their in many ways, I believe, that, you know, the heritage of this country that people, many, for years, America prospered because of our roots, our founding, based on Judeo-Christian ethic. Not anymore. And it's happening so fast. So, but you know what? That is also the way the world goes. That's why it's important that we understand that we are actually kingdom people. And that idea was presented to the human race 2,000 years ago. That what God intended was to call people out of the darkness and into his marvelous light from every nation under the sun. Not just America. America didn't even exist then. Every nation under the sun, that people would come to the knowledge of the truth, that people would find proper instruction and guidance. The scripture says all scripture is inspired of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete and thoroughly furnished to every good work. That's what the purpose of the scripture is for. To instruct the people. You know that translates into quality of life? You realize that all over the world, that's all people want anyway, is quality of life? People don't like being afraid. Yet people are full of fears, uncertainties, and doubts. Because they don't know. They're in darkness. Jesus said, well, I'm a light that came into the world that men need no longer abide in darkness. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. When they ask him, well, free from what? What are you talking about? What will we be free from? He basically told them, your old nature. Your old man. That's where all our problems lie, is in our old nature and in our old man. No government's going to be able to do that for any of us. I don't care how good it is, including our own. As many good things as maybe the United States has tried to accomplish since its founding, it's not the hope of the world. The only hope of the world is Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. And without that light, look, you can't be nowhere. None of us, you can't be nowhere. With our dual nature, you either walk according to the flesh or the Spirit. And the only way you can walk according to the Spirit is to be born again. Otherwise, the default is the flesh. You live so long in the flesh, and finally the body dies. Spirit goes back to God who gave it to be judged. And then life actually begins. Real life, like forever life. Eternity has just dawned. And you live somewhere forever. That's what the scripture says. You'll live somewhere forever. Now this book is going to explain how all that works and gives us thousands of years of human history so that we can actually see what people have done before us. The right things they did and the bad things they did. God never changes. Now, he's given this to us in three phases, but in each phase, you know, for the people who lived in the time of the patriarchal time, or the time of 1,500 years of the law of Moses, specifically focused on the nation of Israel, and then as he expanded it to the rest of the world, and what we know now is New Testament Christianity. God, in each one of those phases, laid out all the things that they needed to know for the time that they were in and how to walk and please him. And oh, you should see his patience, because we're thick. You know, we are slow, man. We are hard-headed. In fact, he said your heads are like flint. You know what I get visions of when he talks about your head like flint, that sparks fly when you get, you know, like hard on a rock. Yet God is patient, and God is merciful through all those times. But his patience runs out, too. Then you get to see that. And he says, I am a jealous God. And I can be provoked, he said, to anger. You don't want to do that. Paul said, don't be deceived. God won't be mocked. He said, what you sow, you're going to reap. You sow to the flesh, you stay as a natural man, then you will reap destruction. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. But he said, God won't be mocked. God is good. God is patient. God is kind. But he also has an eternal purpose that will be fulfilled in this life until this world ends. You know, each one of us just comes to this, and just this time, whenever you're born, whatever, this is your generation. And we'll go, and another one will come if he tarry. And this world don't burn up. But time is short, and it's running out. Now, in this world, there is a battle between good and evil, light, darkness, the spiritual and the natural. It's always been that way. It's always going to be that way. And the only ones who will escape it are the ones who come out of it. I don't know if anybody's going to escape getting in it in the first place. Because it's one of those things that by the time you realize you're in it, you're in it. Now you're trying to figure out how to get out of it. If you care, you might try to run with it for a while and try your best. Try your hardest. You might say, I don't like myself. Or I don't like the way I am. I don't like what I'm doing. And especially if it's wrong, well, good for you. The challenge is that when people try to get their lives on course all by themselves, they find they can't figure it out. They don't. The harder they try, it seems to get more messed up. They never get the results that they're looking for. And if they ever do, it's momentary. They have these ups and downs. I think most people would rather have a life that was steady. Well, in order for that to happen, you're going to have information that is outside of you. In other words, you don't possess it. In our unregenerated state, nobody does. That can only come from God. So as we look around at our world, I don't care where you go, you will never escape that. Because everybody in all them foreign countries, they're going through it too. The Asians are going through it. The Africans are going through it. The Russians are going through it. The Americans are going through it. Everybody's going to go through that process. And the answer for the human race is the same. You know, that's one great thing about the scripture. You know, sometimes we tend to see ourselves as, you know, in our own little world, each person looks around and sees their little fiefdom or whatever that they're in charge of. And maybe they look out a little bit further to see the others, you know, in their general area, generally our culture, you know, same languages, same practices, same whatever. They totally forget about the rest of the world. Well, God sees the whole world. And he cares about the whole world. He doesn't like Americans more than Africans or Asians more than Russians. God loves people. He's created them all. In fact, I could turn you to the scripture, but I won't. But it says he makes their hearts individually. Individually. Now think about that. You talk about snowflakes. There's no two snowflakes. How does anybody know that two of them ain't alike out there? You ever checked? But I'll take their word for it. No two people are the same. Now you think about that for a minute, and I'll close. But I couldn't help saying this. You know, there ain't many square inches in a human face, but do you realize everybody looks different? Like walk through an airport or something, you got all these people coming. You know, when you only got so many square inches, it has two eyeballs, a nose, and a mouth on it, how can they all look different? I mean, I don't know if you ever had a Mr. Potato Head before when you was a kid, but you can only stick so many eyes and noses and lips on those things. And I mean, how many varieties could you come up with on a Mr. Potato Head? But God has somehow figured out how to take one of these heads and put a different face on all of them, all over bazillions of people all over the world. Now, that is amazing how he could do that. We are very individual, and so is our spirits. And God has made each and every one of them. And yet, as good and kind and as gracious as God is, he's also a just God, and he holds us accountable. So he sets before us good and evil, life and death. Now, collectively, you know, we make up some families and communities and societies and countries, and we set standards, and, you know, but that's not founded on a rock. And so it shifts. It shifts. And for the majority of the people go with the flesh, and the people that are trying to do something right are going to be pretty soon on the outside looking in. And you're going to look like the weirdo. You're the radical. So Jesus was the one that was the first and greatest of the radicals that flipped the world upside down. And we want to be as radical as he is because he's right. Because he's right. So more on that. But thank you for your attention this morning.